Thank you, Bethany. Amen. Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 21. 2 Samuel chapter 21. I want to talk to you about a long funeral service. A long funeral service. 2 Samuel 21, and we'll begin reading at verse 10. 2 Samuel 21 and verse 10, and Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day nor the beasts of the field by night. And it was told David what Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, the concubine of Saul, had done. And what is this woman doing? Why is she taking sackcloth and spreading it there upon a rock and obviously observing? Oh, she's observing her two sons who have been hanged. And she is there watching them hang. She is, every time a bird would try to come and land upon them or pluck at their eyes or any part of their body, she would be there to cause the birds to fly away. The Bible says that she was there at night making sure that no animal would come and try to bite off any of the body parts as her two sons and then five grandsons of Saul are hanged there, and here she is. And this is a funeral service. She's going to be there, some say, 6 months. She's going to be there. She's going to set her little place there and her sackcloth, and it's going to be there on a rock. And it says from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven, which was got the answer from the Lord. But some say it was up to 6 months long. I've had some long funeral services before. I was thinking about Brother Ken Dehas, my assistant. When he died, I preached. I believe Brother Bill Crockett preached, and then Tom Williams preached. And so three preachers equals a long service. I'm thinking that was an hour and a half long, something like that. Some funeral services, you let people give testimonies, and they will get up, and family members will get up and give testimonies, and you never know how long that's going to be. It can go forever. I've seen some long funeral services. Usually, though, a funeral service that I do usually is about an hour long, something like that. And then when we go to the cemetery, it's very, very short time. We don't spend a long time ever at the cemetery. And that was a good thing this past week, because we would have frozen to death out there. But can you imagine this mother watching her two sons hang, keeping the birds off of them, keeping the wild beasts away from them, possibly up to 6 months long? Hard to even imagine that. A long funeral service. Father, bless the preaching tonight and prepare us for the Lord's Supper. Cause us to think about what you've done for us. Cause us to remember. You say this do in remembrance, and I pray that even now you will bring to our remembrance what you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You remember the story after Jericho had been conquered, the walls had fallen down, and then of course, Ai had eventually fallen, and that was certainly a blessing to the children of Israel, and God had blessed them in a great way. And so by now, all of the communities, all the cities around had passed the word on that the people of Israel, the children of Israel, their God was a powerful God. The walls of Jericho fell down, and Ai had been conquered, and now they're conquering everything, and it looks like this army is a formidable foe. And so remember the story how the Gibeonites came in. And I love the way the Bible says that they wilily, that's a good word, I like that, they wilily, they tricked the children of Israel. They tricked Joshua and the elders, and they pretended that they were from far away, and they wore old clothes and made themselves look like they'd traveled a long way and that they were lost. And they got Joshua to make a covenant. How many of you know the story? You remember that? They got Joshua to make a covenant. So that they would be protected. Now, they agreed to be the servants of Joshua, the servants of the children of Israel. But they, you know, Joshua made this covenant with them that they would be protected forever. Well, obviously, you know, when Joshua found out, he wasn't very pleased about it, but they made the agreement, they made the covenant, and so that was all settled. Well, years later, Saul attacked the Gibeonites and went after the Gibeonites and killed many of them and therefore broke the covenant. And so the result is where we are here in 2 Samuel chapter 21. In verse 1 it says, "Then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord." So this famine takes place, and it's 3 years long, and so finally David goes to the Lord, and the Lord answered, "It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites." And so God said that because Saul had broken this covenant and he had killed many of the Gibeonites, that is why this famine is taking place. And David has to figure out, okay, what can we do? How can we make this right? What are we going to do about this? And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites, and the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, "What shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make the atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord?" And the Gibeonites said unto him, "We will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house, neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel." And he said, "What ye shall say, that will I do for you." And they answered the king, "The man that consumed us and that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in the coast of Israel, let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us. And we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose." And the king said, "I will give them." And so that is where we are. And that is the story. These two sons, Rizpah, her two sons, were chosen, and then 5 grandsons of Saul, and these 7 were hanged. And Rizpah, the Bible says, very clearly went out, put sackcloth down, and literally had a funeral service for maybe 6 months, watching the bodies of especially her two sons, but I believe all the bodies that were hanged, and kept the birds off of them and kept the wild beasts from them, and literally had her own little funeral service thinking about, and if you can imagine what's going through her mind, but obviously this had to take place. Otherwise, the people would have died of the famine. It's very interesting. In just a few minutes, we'll have the Lord's Supper together. And Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." We call it a memorial service, like a funeral service. We are to think about the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean we should ever have a time where we're not thinking about Jesus, but especially we should pay attention to his birth, his perfect life, his sinlessness, his death on the cross, his resurrection. Of course, in these days, especially thinking about the fact that he's coming again and being excited about that. And so I think about Rizpah as she observes and has this funeral service for her boys especially. And I think there's a great comparison. I want to just draw a little bit of a comparison tonight to kind of help you prepare for the Lord's Supper together. And several things that I see that I want to compare. Number one is we see a message of sin. A message of sin. You know, every funeral, and certainly we don't like to think about this, but realize this, when you see death, it is a message that sin has taken place in our world. The wages of sin is death. Do you understand, folks, as upset as you may be that your loved one, your friend, your coworker, whoever it is laying in that casket, understand the thing we ought to get mad about. We should never get angry with God. We should never get upset at God. We should never blame God. No, what we need to do is we need to understand that the death of our loved ones and death as a whole is a result of sin. And we should get upset at sin. Anytime anything dies, understand that it goes back to those wages. It goes back to what God said would take place because of sin. And it's amazing how we'll get all upset. Well, you know, I can't believe, I talk to people so often, lost people that say, well, you know, I'd be interested in church, or I'd be interested in getting saved, but God took my grandma. God took my dad. God took my child. And it's like they're blaming the wrong person. They're blaming the wrong thing. You know, every time we have we're having the Lord's Supper. And what do we start off with? The little bread, that's the broken body of Jesus. Hey, wait a minute. We're going to drink the juice that represents the blood. And it is a picture of death. It's a picture of death. You know, people have said, oh, you know, you Baptists, it's so negative. You're always talking about the blood, and you talk about the cross. And listen to me, folks. That's because we've sinned. We've sinned. And you cannot ignore death. Honestly, a funeral is the best time to talk to somebody about their salvation. Because you can't ignore death. It's there. It is so obvious. I mean, a body in a casket, it's the message of sin. The wages of sin is death. Every funeral, we remember things about the one who died. We think about them. Again, the Lord's Supper, we think about the body of Jesus that was broken. We think about the blood that was shed. I want to remind you, the reason the body was broken and the blood was shed was because of my sin, your sin. It was because of our sin, and because the wages of sin is death. And here, as you think of Rizpah, understand, her sons are hanging from a tree. They're going to hang there several months at least. Their bodies are going to rot hanging there. She's not going to let a bird pluck at them. She's not going to let a beast chew on them. But they are hanging there because of sin that took place. They are hanging there because of the bloody house of Saul. They are hanging there because if they don't hang there, the result of sin is going to be famine and there's going to be more death. Understand that when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, it is not because, it's a religious thing. It is because we should have died and gone to hell, but He died for us. And He paid the price for our sin. We have the Lord's Supper, but it always, always carries with it that message of sin. As Rizpah, you think, as she watches those bodies hang there all day, all night, as she watches, you have to know that she realizes this was because somebody sinned. Somebody sinned. You know, King David had no choice. This is the only way to stop this famine, this plague, all these people dying. There was no other way. As we observe the Lord's Supper, understand there was no other way. There was no other way for us to be saved, but Jesus had to die. Understand the Gibeonites here in our story. They could have asked for anything. David would have made it happen. Yeah, people are dying. The famine is terrible, and God has said, deal with this thing, David. They could have asked for anything, but they asked for seven sons of Saul. They asked for Saul's heritage to be hanged. And so Rizpah's two sons are hanging there. In verse 9, very, very clearly, he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord. And they fell all seven together and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of barley harvest. And there's death. Death. You know, as we observe the Lord's Supper in a few minutes, you can't leave out that message of death. We cannot forget that Jesus had to die. These seven would die for everyone. They would die for the Israelites. They would die so that famine would not take any more lives. They would die. Death. Now, they themselves were not guilty of anything. As far as we know, they didn't do anything. But they died for everyone else. As you know, God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. As you observe the Lord's Supper in a few minutes, remember that thing. He didn't do anything. We did. It's not His fault. It's not, the famine, which is lost people going to hell. That's not his fault. That's our fault. The famine, which is death, that's not his fault. That's our fault. It's our fault. We're the ones who sinned. But just like Jesus, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. As Rizpah, as she sat on her sackcloth and looked up and chased the birds away and chased the beasts away, she recognized these boys didn't do anything. It was somebody else. What a service to think about that. These seven had to die. You know, it's recorded throughout Scripture, Jesus had to die. And so he told us to remember. Remember when you have the Lord's Supper. Remember me. It's a message of sin. A message of sin. And sin brings death. It speaks of death. Secondly, it's a means of salvation. Not only is it a message of sin, but it's a means of salvation. Because here they are. They've hung, and now what will God do about that? God said, you've got to deal with the bloody house of Saul. And if you'll deal with that, God says, I'm going to take care of things. And the Bible says in verse 14, the bones of Saul and Jonathan his son buried they in the country of Benjamin and Zelah in the sepulcher of Kish his father, and they performed all the king commanded. And after that, watch what it says, God was entreated for the land. In verse 10 it says, until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and the time came when the rain fell again and the famine would be ended. And so the hanging of those seven was a means of salvation. God was entreated for the land. It rained, and the water fell, and the famine was over. Some say 5, maybe 6 months later. What's it mean? It means God accepted the price of the seven who hanged there. God accepted it. Oh, listen, as you think about the Lord Jesus in a few minutes, as you think about his dying on the cross, I want to remind you that he cried out, "It is finished!" And it was finished. And the Father accepted his death on the cross as payment in full for my sin. Praise God, you're not going to answer for your sin as far as your salvation is concerned. You'll never answer once you get saved. It's gone. Your sins are gone. Don't you love the song? Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the sea and in my heart's a song. They're gone. Gone. The Bible says as far as the east is from the west. That's pretty far. God accepted the sacrifice. Can you imagine Rizpah as she watches and there they hang and the birds are swarming around and constantly she has to be up and she has to be swatting at those birds, and late at night she can hear all the animals circling to try to get to those bodies and try to pull them down and eat their bodies. And Rizpah's got to be thinking, well, I wonder if it's over. I wonder if it's over. Is the famine over? And someday, one day, the rain would fall. And God would say, it is over. Well, you know, as we observe the Lord's Supper in a few minutes, realize, folks, it's over. The price has been paid for our sin. Glory to God. These seven, their death was a sacrifice for a nation. The Lord Jesus, his death was a sacrifice for the world. For God so loved the world. But more specifically, it was a sacrifice for each of us. Don't just casually take the bread and just sort of, you know, I hope we hurry up and get out of here. Don't just casually drink the juice and just, you know, kind of think about what you're going to do later on. No, 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 no. Listen to me. That God gave it as a means of our salvation. It's how we can know for sure we're going to heaven. Over and over, the Bible says about Jesus. The Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Did he accept the sacrifice? It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Galatians 3:13, we're redeemed from the curse of the law because Jesus was made a curse for us. You know, it's accepted by God. In a few minutes, we'll do what Rizpah did. We'll remember, we'll think, wow, Jesus paid the price that I could never pay. I would have had to go to hell for all eternity. But it's all paid. Amen. It's all paid. I've often wondered as I've read this passage what she was thinking. Do you suppose maybe she'd look around, people be maybe walking by, maybe even laughing at her a little bit, or maybe some would walk by and she would wonder, hey couple, do you understand? These seven, they died so you could live. Hey, quit laughing over there. These seven, my two sons, they died so you could live. You ever wonder why the world just kind of passes by and doesn't care? Jesus died so we could live. A means of salvation. Number one, a message of sin. Number two, means of salvation. But number three, it's a memorial of a Savior. Or in this case, a memorial of Saviors. If not for these seven, how many more would die? If not for these seven. I think Rizpah, maybe, you know, her heart's broken because it's her two sons, but maybe she breaks out in song every now and then, just praising the Lord because no one else had to die. It's very interesting. The Bible says in verse 13, and he brought up from thence the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son. Watch this. And they gathered the bones of them that were hanged. And they took them with the bones of Saul and Jonathan. What's that mean? They honored those seven. Yeah, why? Because they died for the whole nation. A memorial of, hey, these seven, they died for us. You know, in a few minutes, understand. Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. Remember, he died for us. He died for us. You know, he's our Savior. We need to remember. Remember, not just at the Lord's Supper, but all the time. I think about Rizpah, and she's watched all that time. How many months? I don't know how many months it was, but it was a long time. And she's watched, and she's guarded. And you know, there came a time, obviously, when it's very, all that's left is bones. The bodies, they've rotted. I don't know how long that she's been there. I don't know what may have happened. You know, maybe there were birds she couldn't swat away. All I know is this. I know she's watched all this time, and what a blessing it was to her that they were honored by being buried with the bones of Saul and Jonathan, two heroes. You know, Jesus is our hero. He's our hero. He's the greatest hero we could ever have. He died for us. You know, as you think about the service, as you think about the Lord's Supper, it ought to be a time of realizing he's our Savior. Sure, he was a good man. Sure, he did great things. Sure, he's a great teacher. We love all the stories in the Bible. But he hung on a cross, and he paid for our sins. But finally, the last thing that I want to talk about tonight is it's a motivation for saints. A motivation. Something motivated Rizpah. I'm telling you, she to do what she did, it just blows my mind. They say a hanging is a gruesome looking thing. And she's watched her two sons hang. The other five hang. And there they are, hanging. It's gruesome. And the rigor mortis and the decaying of the body, she's watching it day after day. And in the sun's heat and all of that, because it appears in the spring. And because of barley harvest, probably April, and the rains typically didn't come until October. And there she's been keeping the birds off and the animals away. And, And it just, it amazes me. But I put number four, the motivation for saints, because honestly, this was an inspiration to Rizpah. And I thought, as I was reading this again, I was thinking about all the funeral services that I've done. And I've done so many funeral services. And I was thinking about how it always draws together. And you know what? It's almost the same thing in every funeral service is now, folks, you've heard about their life. Now, what are you going to do? And there's always that challenge. There's always that motivation. What are you going to do? How are you going to live your life? Okay, you've heard about the deceased. Now, what are you going to do? And I think Rizpah, as you know, it's so inspiring to me to see what she was motivated to do. I think when we have the Lord's Supper, we ought to be motivated. I think it's wonderful to think about Jesus and to praise Him and to thank God for Him and all those kind of things. But even more than that, I think we ought to be motivated to do something. Kind of like Rizpah here. And she took sackcloth and spread it upon the rock. And the Bible says she suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day nor the beasts of the fields by night. And she did that night after night after night after night after night after night after night. You see, so many miss what I think is one of the most crucial parts of any kind of funeral service. And that is the effect the deceased had on you. What kind of an effect did they have on you? I mean, Rizpah, we see the effect they had on her, her two sons especially. I mean, she was going to guard their bodies. What an effect. Now I'll get into why here in just a minute, but she's going to guard their bodies from barley harvest, April, until the rains, possibly October, 5 or 6 months. Her vigil was to guard those bodies. And so I just wrote down four things that I think the motivation caused her to do. Four things that just spoke to her heart. And I think they're things that ought to be present in our lives as we observe the Lord's Supper tonight. And every time we observe the Lord's Supper, every time we think of our Savior, I think there ought to be four things that we're motivated to do because of what He did for us. Number one, it caused her to speak. Oh yeah, it caused her to speak. Now what was her motivation? Some would say love. Well, do you love Jesus tonight? She could have easily said, it's not fair. They didn't do anything. But she knew this was for the nation. And it caused her to speak. What do you mean? She wasn't ashamed. They're hanging there. You understand? They're hanging out in the open. It's not like they're hidden somewhere. They're out in the open. Everybody could see. They're on a hill. All the city could come around. Everybody knew. Everybody could see. Pretty soon they'd be talking about that woman that's down there and guarding those bodies that are hanging there. But she wanted everybody to know that it wasn't their sins they died for. Come on! You only hang criminals. You only hang thieves. You only hang those who are guilty. She wanted everybody to know they didn't do anything wrong. They're not guilty. She wasn't ashamed of them. Look at Proverbs 30, verse 17. Interesting verse. Proverbs 30 and verse 17. And certainly the Old Testament talks about this. Proverbs 30, 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagle shall eat it. She said, I want you to know something. No raven will pluck the eye of my son out because he was good to his mother. He was good to his father. My sons, they didn't disobey us. That's not why they hang here. And I'll not let a raven pluck their eye out. I'll not allow the birds to feast on them. I'll not allow the wild animals. And her voice in her actions was, I'm not ashamed of my sons. Let me ask you a question. Are you ashamed of Jesus tonight? Shouldn't we speak out about Jesus? Shouldn't we talk about Jesus? Shouldn't we tell everybody about Jesus? Do you understand? He never sinned. They said he did. It's easy to accuse. They said he did, but he never sinned. We should not be ashamed of Jesus. You know, when we take the Lord's Supper tonight, we should be motivated to speak out about our Savior. We should be motivated to talk about Jesus. Like I said, she easily could have been angry at what had happened, but she trusted the Lord. She could have taken the bodies down herself. Do you understand that? But she was waiting on the answer from God. And so she wanted everybody to know, my boys didn't do anything wrong. I'm not ashamed of them hanging on a cross. It's an amazing thing. It caused her to speak. Secondly, I believe it caused her to serve. Caused her to serve. Day after day, fighting off the birds. Night after night, fighting off the wild beast. Caused her to serve. Honestly, the Lord's Supper, if nothing ever convicts you about serving God, the Lord's Supper should. It really should. I mean, I think Rizpah thought, you know, if they will give their lives for their nation, I can stay here all day and all night, and I can make sure that not a bird or a wolf or a lion, nothing will disturb those bodies hanging there. She said, if they can do that, I can serve. And I wonder sometimes what we're thinking as Christians as we take the Lord's Supper and we have no desire to do anything for God. I would think the Lord's Supper should move us, should motivate us to serve. Caused her to speak, caused her to serve. The third thing, it caused her to stand. Maybe a half a year. It just blows my mind. Possibly a half a year not giving in. Not giving in. How long will you last as more and more are turning against our Savior? How long will you last? How long will you last at work taking your stand? Or are you starting to get quiet even now? How long will you last with your relatives? Or are you starting to just say, you know what, it's not worth it? How long will you stand for the Savior when it's not popular to stand? Week after week, week after week, Christians go into forests, woods, valleys, all over this world, and they take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that at any time they can be taken and made prisoners and put to death. How long will you stand as it becomes more and more unpopular to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ? How long will you stand for the altar call? How long will you stand for prayer? How long will you stand for soul winning? How long will you say, well, you know, if they make a law, you know, if they make these laws and we can't tell anybody, how long will you just stand? Because you have to understand, Rizpah was motivated to stand. It caused her to stand. How long will you fight off those which would defile our Savior, which would curse His name? How long will it be? Do you tell people, hey, don't use His name in vain. That's my Savior. You used to. Do you still? Do you still pray with your relatives? Do you still pray at work? Do you still pray if you're in school? Do you still, Christian school too? You know, there's young people ashamed of Jesus in the Christian school. How long will you stand? The Lord's Supper should motivate us, as it did Rizpah. As the funeral service, the longer I think she watched, the more determined she was to stand. First supper with the disciples, you know the story. Right afterwards, what did Peter do? The guards came to take Jesus, and Peter grabbed his sword and swung it and cut off the ear of one of the guards. You say, wow, what a man. But it wasn't long he was denying Jesus. Do you understand how we are so fickle that it's just a matter of time between cutting off the guard's ear and cursing Jesus? And that could be you and me. And as we observe the Lord's Supper tonight, ask yourself, where am I in that? Well, I used to take a stand. I'm not talking about being obnoxious. I'm not talking about being unkind. I'm just talking about taking a stand for what's right. Taking a stand for the Word of God. You know? Well, you know, nobody uses the King James anymore. Listen to me. Take a stand. Take a stand. If it was right 20 years ago, it's right today. We need to take a stand. And when I hold that little glass, that little container of grape juice in my hand, and I know what it represents, it ought to fire me up to stand for Jesus. Because he died for me. The motivation for saints caused her to speak, caused her to serve, caused her to stand. And then the fourth thing, it caused her to stay. She stayed. I love it. It is one of the most amazing stories in the Bible of a mother's love for her sons. But I think it's so much deeper than that, because these boys and the other five died for their nation. And it motivated her to stay. Those long nights, those hot days. Again, the Bible's very, very clear. She was there in the day keeping the birds off. She was there at night keeping the beasts of the field off. Well, what about all of her hobbies and other things? No, it just caused her to stay. You understand? It's easy to quit. You've heard the song, he could have called 10,000 angels. He could have called 10 million angels as he hung on the cross. And they could have taken him down. In fact, the first time a guard punched him in the face, he could have called the angels to kill them all. But he stayed. He stayed until he cried out, "It is finished!" He stayed. He stayed. Will you stay? As we take the Lord's Supper in a few minutes, it ought to cause you, motivate you to stay. She proved her love however long. As far as we know, she stayed until the bodies became bones. They decayed and rotted off, and she watched that. You say, how terrible. No, she loved her boys. How much do you love Jesus? How much do you love Jesus? It's so easy to quit. So it would be so easy to just say, you know what? I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Why go through all of this? In a few minutes, we'll open up the little tray here, and you'll see these little wafers. And every time I see those little unleavened bread wafers, I don't think about unleavened bread wafers. I think about Jesus' body and how it was ripped to shreds. That's what I think about. I lift the little lid off of the little tray of cups, and I know what it is. It's grape juice. But I don't think about the grape juice. I think about that. I think about Jesus' blood. And it's so easy to quit. People quit all the time. But we ought to be motivated to stay. That love should literally change our lives. The love that kept him on the cross. We ought to love him and just keep going for him. Motivation for the saints. And so, when you think tonight about the Lord's Supper, as we observe the Lord's Supper together, I hope that you will, even before that, you'll ask yourself, well, where am I in all that? Where am I? Here's a woman that saw seven young men hanged, and she guarded their bodies. And she I call it the longest funeral service ever, because she stayed there and watched them and thought about them and thought about their lives and wasn't ashamed of them. And she simply just stayed there, believing that was what she was motivated to do. And I just wonder, what would God want you to do about the Lord's Supper tonight? What would He want us to do about the Lord's Supper? It's not just we don't do anything just because everybody does it. If we're doing that, then we need to quit doing it for that. Listen, He wants us to remember Him tonight. It's not a ritual. It's not, we had the Lord's Supper. It is, what is it doing to us? What's it doing to you? I know what He did for us. You know what He did for you. And now what are you going to do about that?